At a recent Science on Tap event in Philadelphia, people gathered to hear Adam Zolkover, a food blogger, explain the biochemical event known as fermentation. Pulse contributor Larry Roebling asked Zolkover to explain.
Fermentation is a process by which cells that don't have access to oxygen create energy for themselves. And the byproduct of that energy is, in the case of some kinds of bacteria, lactic acid. And in the case of other kinds of bacteria, it's alcohol and carbon dioxide.
In layman's terms, please?
Basically, what's happening is that the little bacteria are eating, and then we are eating those little bacteria's waste.
Yep, you heard it here. The deliciousness in wine, beer, bread, and cheese, it's essentially poop.
And it tastes great. We select for certain kinds of microbes that are particularly advantageous to us. In the 18th century, fermentation was a key part of long sea voyages because in the absence of refrigeration, you had to do something to stave off scurvy. Bread is a fermented product. Beer and wine are both fermented products. Cheeses are fermented. Kefir, which is a hot health trend right now. Kombucha, which is even hotter. All fermented products.
Kefir, a yogurt-like beverage, and kombucha, a fermented tea, may be trendy today. But Zolkover notes there are references to fermentation 4,000 years ago in the Epic of Gilgamesh. And fermented products are enjoyed around the globe. So how did man figure out that invisible living cells in the air would start this chemical reaction that preserves food and yields pleasures such as alcoholic beverages?
Sometimes I think it's remarkable, and sometimes I think it's a product of desperation, that if you're hungry and it's winter and there's two cabbages left at the bottom of your barrel, you're going to eat those cabbages, whether they look like fresh, nice cabbage or whether they look like, well, sauerkraut.
You would think that after all this time, fermentation would have evolved some modernist technique. But from sauerkraut in Germany to kimchi in Korea, it remains a simple formula. Vegetables, water, salt, and thyme. Chefs have embraced its new popularity and are using it to add flavor, texture, and interest to their menus.
The process of it allows us as chefs to take something that might be very sort of pedestrian, and with a little bit of time and a little bit of salt and a little bit of patience, we get something that we can really uniquely use in our menu.
That's executive chef Eli Culp of Fork and High Street in Philadelphia. He's been using fermentation in his kitchen for over 10 years. In his menu, as well as regular series of fermentation dinners, he explores dishes from the common to the exotic.
We do a cream cheese that is a fermentation process. We make our own vinegars. And then we do things more advanced like cashew cheese, but it's also called Rejuvelac. Rejuvelac is taking the water of a soaked grain that creates an enzymatic reaction with the warm water and then aging that like a cheese. And what that does is really gives like an acidic sort of really savory flavor to the nuts.
Culp sees no produce out of bounds and will ferment just about anything to see what happens. This trial and error often yields the perfect accent for a dish such as his parsley and scallops.
The scallops are naturally sweet, they're raw, they're creamy, so this sort of like slight abrasiveness of the acidity and the texture of that partially broken down parsley really goes nicely with it.
While Culp uses wild fermentation, a process using microbes occurring naturally in the air, as well as purchasing cultured starters, he notes both are attributed with health qualities and fill our guts not only with deliciousness, but also the good bacteria we need. Back at Science on Tap, Zolkover says wild fermentation with a seasoned brine is easy to do at home, much easier than pickling with vinegar.
What I would suggest is not pickled cucumbers. Pickled cucumbers have a tendency to go soft if you don't watch them carefully. The best place to start is probably with white turnips. You just need a quart of water and 2 tablespoons of sea salt. You slice up the turnips, you put them in a jar, you add your flavoring, you pour the brine over, and you leave it for about a week.
So next time you tuck into that wine and cheese or brewski with a burger and pickle, know that you have biochemistry to thank. For The Pulse, I'm Larry Roebling.